an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Yeah, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Conversations with Eagle Flower this third day of August 2022. It's hard to believe we're already in August, but here we are. As always, my affirmation and welcome is welcome to the listeners who come from far and wide and from many cultures and creeds and nationalities around this world. And we all come to this table of life to learn from each other in the best possible way. And we acknowledge that no race and no person is better than another. We all experience this gift of life from our mutual creator. And thank you for listening to Revolution Radio and supporting us here, as we are a listener-supported station. And always is available when you check in to Rev Radio from freedomslips.com. We do have a posted schedule list, and we have the archives, which are free, as well as a Zazzle store that's under some sort of a reconditioning, I guess. And, of course, the donation button. And please feel free to donate as often and that you can. As always, I like to give a special shout-out to all of the Chatsy Chatters here at Revolution Radio, as this is my last Chatsy Chatter show. We are having a party in Chatsy Chat just for this very reason. So come on down if you're not in Chatsy right now. We've got everything laid out. We've got snacks, we've got drinks, you name it. So it's party time today in Chatsy. As always, my Eagle Flower saying is let's learn together and build our best future. Today's theme is going down memory lane and let's laugh together. You know, I feel like all of us are under a lot of pressure from one direction or another. And we can choose to live each moment for the beauty that it is or not. And this is one of our biggest lessons I think we need to learn as individuals and as a civilization. And as you listen later today with what I'm talking about, the different stories, and they're funny, most of them, but we can choose to look at this from another perspective also, because today we are addressing, or I am addressing, a lot of what's called the senior citizens crowd. And yes, there are a lot of jokes and laughter about the good old senior citizens. But for those of us and all of us, what we can do in the meantime is also look at this as being the time of a cycle that we're in. We're in adulthood. We are looking what seems to be final chapters to who knows what show. And for our own personal benefit, let's look at the joy and the laughter and what other things we can learn while we're doing this. Because if we look at what we have and the beauty of life that is around us, that alone is brings us a step higher or a step closer to getting ourselves out of the morass that is always being thrown into our face. So let me get started here. What has happened to having fun? Telling jokes and laughing without feeling it necessary to almost apologize. Yes, that niggling self-censoring. Are we so crazed and filled with living in a pity party that we are losing our sense of humor? We had better catch it before it shrivels up and dies. Yes, give ourselves permission to laugh out loud, to giggle and chuckle. Today, the eagle has decided to open the doors and windows, and who cares if we laugh out loud and let some sunshine in? So get ready to do some belly laughs and throw tension to the wind. This may be considered an exercise. Yes, we can sing and dance, with others wondering what in the world could be so funny. And that is an answer, isn't it? Let's enjoy laughing and enjoy each other. It's always more fun to laugh at ourselves. And being one who has reached the senior citizen status, I can attest that for those of you coming up the ranks, life becomes more enjoyable if we find something funny throughout the day. Though we may hear stories and jokes that seem to put down another, maybe we can set our minds to learn from them. For example, growing older and aging in this world can be viewed as a burden to self and to others. Yes, the jokes and humor can be oversimplified. I came across this website for senior citizens called suddenlysenior.com. And be forewarned that if you are using sharp tools or knives or driving, stop and listen. I will not be held responsible for your silly mess-ups or swerving down the road. Some of the story topics might be a little more mature, talking about libido and such, but be forewarned if you've got curious young ears around, but the language is G-rated. Okay, let's start off easy. Let's go down memory lane. This is a do you remember list, and it counts down to 25, so you might want to just keep a mental count of how many you remember, and I'll bet most of you remember all or most of them. 1, candy cigarettes. 2, wax Coke-shaped bottles with colored sugar water inside. 3, soda pop machines that dispensed bottles. 4, coffee shops with tableside jukeboxes. 5, blackjack chewing gum, and I added clothes to that list too. 6, home milk delivery in glass bottles with cardboard stoppers. 7, party lines. And of course that would include a corded rotary telephone, wouldn't it? 8, newsreels before the movie. 9, PF flyers. 10, butch wax. 11. Telephone numbers with a word prefix, such as Drexel 5500. 12. Pea shooters. 13. Howdy Doody and Clarabelle. 14. 78 RPM records. 15. S and H green stamps. 16. Hi-fis. 17. Metal ice cube trays with the levers. 18. Mimeograph paper. 19. Blue flash bulbs. And of course, that would have been for the Brownie cameras. 20. Beanie and Cecil. 21. Roller skate keys. 22. Cork pop guns. 23. Drive-ins. And in this, they're not specifying if it was for a movies or for a root beer, but we know what drive-ins were. 24, Studebakers, and 25, washtub ringers. I have to say, going back on the list, I had no idea what PF flyers were. And, of course, they are the black high-top canvas shoes made by B.F. Goodrich back then. Now, Butch Wax, I hadn't a clue, and so I looked it up, and here's an excerpt that I thought was worth reading about Butch Wax. Okay, the guys from post-World War II came back with their crew cuts, right? So around 1954, a phenomenon called a flat-top haircut appeared on the scene, and all the boys with the GIs and crew cuts let their hair grow long enough that the barber could start the cut in the front, with about an inch of hair sticking up, then create a perfectly level playing field to the back of the head. Flat tops were high maintenance, requiring frequent trips to the barber. That's because hair, left to its own devices, does not stand up straight in front. It took a skilled barber and copious amounts of a product called Butch Wax to keep a flat top flat. Butch Wax was a thick, sticky paste that could turn a delicate spider web into a hall seine for tuna fish. The sweet-smelling gel was pink and came in both jars and small tins, similar to a snuff can. A drawback to Butch Wax was its propensity to freeze solid, like on winter morning walks to school. A frozen flat top with Butch Wax was like a formation of stalagmites at Luray Caverns. But when the Butch Wax thawed, the classroom of flat tops smelled like the inside of a cotton candy factory. And that's the end of that quote. And actually, I think cotton candy could have probably been put on that list, too. And speaking about old memories, several months ago, I thought that an old Red Ryder wagon might be a perfect answer for a garden wagon for me to cart my stuff around. And for the heck of it, I did a search, and reproductions cost about $150. And, well, that was enough of looking for a wagon. I'm still on the lookout for a decent wagon, though. Okay, next thing is, when did we get old? And this has some more questions to it. Standing in the cafeteria line at my 45th college reunion, the woman from the DePauw University class of 58 asked of no one in particular, "When did I get old?" The conversation stopped. My first thought, since I'm from the class of 57, I must be older than old. Jeez. Someone suggested that we got old the first time we received a senior citizen discount without asking. Another blamed it on AARP, declaring that its letter inviting membership was indistinguishable from a death knell. And you were only 50 then, just a child. A third laughed and said, "I got old exactly at the point when my arms were too short to read the newspaper." We were talking serious, suddenly senior here. That moment in time when out of the blue and contrary to that 23-year-old living inside us, we realize that we were geezers to the rest of the world. When did we get old? Was it the first time we had to get up in the middle of the night to pee? Our first colonoscopy? The first time we declared, back in my day? The first morning we got up feeling terrible when we didn't even have a good time the night before? Maybe it was our first senior moment, our first gray hair, the first time our spouse whispered, "Dear, you already said that." Or was it when we learned that our knees could predict the weather better than Channel 8? The day we decided holding our stomach in wasn't worth the trouble. Or the moment we realized we were now reading the obits before the news. And I have to say, that is true, because that is what Dad was doing when I moved back here. He would read the obits before the news. And the answer, standard answer, is, I wanted to make sure my name wasn't in it. Okay. Going back to the article, standing in that cafeteria line, I had been thinking that we all look pretty good for codgers. Most of all of my classmates were fit. Some even had hair. But it was the sparkle in their eyes and ready laughter from their hearts that really took me back to those days of 1957 when we were all so very young, like yesterday. I'd been at DePaul 2 days now, and I'd compared life stories with maybe 50 of my classmates. I'd yet to hear anyone complain. Let's face it, we were all on our best behavior. But I'd spoken with some for a half hour or more, and instead of regrets, I heard nothing but confidence in life and in the future. Isn't that a nice little story? It's something, of course, for us to keep in mind, because aging never stops, does it? Okay, I promised you some laughter. And here's the first one. It's called The Perfect Husband. When I went to lunch today, I noticed an old lady sitting on a park bench, sobbing her eyes out. I stopped and asked her what was wrong. And she said, "I have a 22-year-old husband at home. He makes love to me every morning and then gets up and makes me pancakes, sausage, fresh fruit, and freshly ground coffee." I said, "Well, then why are you crying?" And she said, "He makes me homemade soup for lunch and my favorite brownies and then makes love to me for half the afternoon." "But why are you crying?" "And for dinner, he makes me a gourmet meal with wine and my favorite dessert, and then makes love to me until 2 a.m. Why in the world are you crying?" "I can't remember where I live." Upon reading this, I have to tell you, I wonder how long she sat in the hot sun on that bench and did some serious daydreaming. Just saying. Okay, here is one titled Raising the Dead. Grandma and Grandpa were watching a healing service on the television. The evangelist called to all who wanted to be healed to go to their television set and place one hand on the TV and the other hand on the body part where they wanted to be healed. Grandma got up and slowly hobbled to the television set and placed her right hand on the set, her left hand on her arthritic shoulder that was causing her to have great pain. Then Grandpa got up and went to the TV, placed his right hand on the set and his left hand on his crotch. Grandma scowled at him and said, "I guess you just don't get it. The purpose of doing this is to heal the sick, not to raise the dead. Okay, am I the only one laughing on that one? Okay. So, the next little story I was going to read you is called My Father's Brief Affair, 1949 Oldsmobile, going all the way up to his 59 Cadillac. And the story begins. When someone complains about how things aren't like they used to be, the used to be is often the 1950s. Drawing from narrow selective memories, we 60 and 70 somethings remember fondly the sweet innocence of that era, the idyllic domesticity of Father Knows Best, the unsullied humor of I Love Lucy, the temperance of kids, safe and content, wearing and doing as they were told. Movies didn't swear, TV had no sex, and magazines revealed only the smiling, wholesome side of life. Sounds boring, doesn't it? It was, except for our cars. This is the story of my father's cars. My dad was crippled. It's politically correct to say disabled or handicapped, but he was neither. It's just that his arms and legs atrophied when at age 10, doctors put his limbs in casts for several years, and that era's treatment for childhood rheumatism. In 1940, when Oldsmobile came out with Hydramatic, the first automatic shift, Dad wanted one. His huge, clumsy, custom-built shoes made clutching difficult. An automatic shift would make driving more pleasant, and driving was pretty much the only way he could get around. World War II intervened, and it was 6 years before he got his Hydramatic. By the time I started paying attention, he was on his third Olds, a 1949 Rocket 88. I learned to drive in that car. It was fast as lightning, and I drove every volt of it. After the war, Detroit discovered branding and artificial obsolescence, two cornerstones of a consumer-driven society. In those days, there were Ford men, Chevy men, Buick men, and Chrysler men. My dad was an Olds man. Every September, when the next year's car models appeared in the showrooms across the country with their sleek new this and that, it was a national event. Unlike today's cookie cutters, cars of the 50s had character. You could tell a Buick by its signature portholes. Oldsmobiles looked like rocket ships with huge chrome jet intakes and sleek aerodynamic bodies. Studebakers? They're dangerous, a cop warned me when I was a patrol boy in the fifth grade. You can't tell if they're coming or going. Artificial obsolescence demanded change for the sake of change. Cadillac's little rear fins of 1948 grew to gigantic proportions by 1959, towering 3.5 feet above the pavement, terminating into multiple taillights glowing like frozen bursts of fire from a rocket on high. In front, chrome bumpers had morphed and embellished into women's breasts or Dagmars, named after an early TV bimbo. Under the hood were 345 horses. By the mid-50s, the average middle-priced car wore almost 50 pounds of superfluous chrome. God only knew how much Cadillac's boundless jewelry weighed. It was irrational exuberance by any measure, which takes me back to my dad. Each September, he would drive home in a bright and shiny new Oldsmobile convertible, and it was his pride and joy, his only extravagance. Then, in September of 1959, my father came home in a Cadillac, a yellow and white convertible with enough chrome to make Las Vegas blush. The car was huge. A barge fit for Cleopatra. A ship worthy of Zeus. He drove up the driveway, honked, and waited for my mother to come out and ooh and ah. Mom stayed inside. He honked and honked, and she wouldn't budge. Dad soon realized he was in big trouble. He went in after her, and she refused to move. Mom would not have a Cadillac. A caddy was too expensive. It was ostentatious. It ate too much fuel, and it probably wouldn't fit in the garage. And they were not Cadillac kind of people. Dad walked out to the car, threw his cane into the back seat, and drove away, returning in a new, more sensible Oldsmobile. The Cadillac was never spoken of again. You know what I think? Mom tolerated the hair-tormenting convertibles year after year because she loved the man. But for a woman brought up in a world where hard work and self-denial were the ultimate satisfactions, the Cadillac was just too much. It was Jezebel. Beautiful, sensuous, and forbidden, a wanton mistress that threatened the very stability and sanctity of marriage. It was an affair, and it was over before it began. So, enough of the car businesses here. Okay, this next one is for mature audiences only. Warning up front. It's the story, and it's called Shocking Sex. There is an old couple, both in their 80s. On a sentimental holiday, they went back to the spot where they first met. They're sitting in a pub, and he says to her, "Do you recall the first time we had sex together? Over 50 years ago? We went behind the bar, and you leaned against the fence, and I made love to you." "Yes," she says, "I remember it well." "Okay," he says. "How about taking a stroll around there again, and we can do it for old time's sake?" "Oh, Henry, you devil. That sounds like such a good idea." There is a man sitting at the next table listening to all of this, having a chuckle to himself. He thinks, "I've got to see this. Two old-timers having sex against a fence." And so he follows them. And they walk haltingly along, leaning on each other for support, aided by their walking canes. Finally, they get back to the back of the bar and make their way to the fence. And the old lady lifts her skirt and takes off her knickers, and the old man drops his trousers. And she turns, and as she hangs on to the fence, the old man moves in on her. And suddenly they erupt into the most furious sex the watching man has ever seen. They are bucking and jumping like 18-year-olds. And this goes on for what seemed forever. And she's yelling, oh, God, he's hanging on her hips for dear life. And this is the most athletic sex imaginable. And finally, they both collapse, panting on the ground. And the guy still is watching, is totally amazed. And he thinks he's learned something about life that he didn't know. And he starts to think about his own aging parents and wonders whether they still have sex like that. And after about half an hour, the recovering couple struggle to their feet and put their clothes back on. And the guy is still watching and he's thinking, man, that was amazing. I've got to ask him what his secret is. And as the couple passes him by, this guy says, that was something else. How do you manage it? Is there some sort of secret? No, there's no secret, the old man says. Except 50 years ago, that frigging fence wasn't electric. And I hope that little one story puts a smile on some people's faces. The next little fun story is called The Physical. An elderly married couple scheduled their annual medical exam the same day for travel that they were planning. After the exam, the doctor then said to the elderly man, you appear to be in good health. Do you have any medical concerns that you would like to discuss with me? In fact, I do, said the man. After I have sex with my wife for the first time, I'm usually hot and sweaty. And then after I have sex with my wife the second time, I'm usually cold and chilly. That is very interesting, replied the doctor. Let me do some research and get back to you. And after examining the elderly lady, the doctor said, everything appears to be fine. Do you have any medical concerns that you would like to discuss with me? And the lady replied that she had no questions or concerns. And the doctor said, your husband had an unusual concern. He claims that he is usually hot and sweaty after having sex the first time, and then cold and chilly after the second. Do you know why? Oh, that old buzzard, she replied. That's because the first time is usually in July and the second time is usually in December. I just thought I would check and see if any of you are listening to these stories because they're funny. At least when I read them, I thought they were funny. Okay. And here is another one. It's an elderly woman went into the doctor's office. And when the doctor asked why she was there, she replied, I'd like to have some birth control pills. Taken back, the doctor thought for a moment and then said, excuse me, Mrs. Smith, but you're 72 years old. What possible use could you have for birth control pills? And she responded, they help me sleep better. And the doctor thought some more and continued, how in the world do birth control pills help you to sleep better? And the woman said, simple. I put them in my granddaughter's orange juice every morning, and I sleep better at night. Okay. Now then. Here's another one. And keep in mind, these are all senior jokes and stories, so we're sticking with the senior citizen theme today. Seniors Lament is the title of it. A few days ago, I was tooling along through a neighborhood on my wheelchair when I noticed a young boy sitting on the retaining wall in front of his house, crying as if his heart was breaking. I pulled alongside the youngster and asked, "Son, what's the matter? Why are you crying so?"
"I'm crying because I can't do what my 20-year-old brother does."
So I sat there and cried with him. Okay. Now, this next one I have to tell you, it's definitely a knee slapper. Okay, it's called The Vet. Every Sunday, a little old lady placed $1,000 in the collection plate. It went on for weeks until the priest, overcome with curiosity, approached her. "My dear, I couldn't help but notice that you put $1,000 a week in the collection plate," he said. "Why, yes," she replied. "Every week my son sends me money, and what I don't need, I give to the church." "Well, that's wonderful. How much does he send you?" the priest asked. "He sends me $2,000 a week," she replied proudly. "Your son is very successful," said the priest. "What does he do for a living?" "Oh, he's a veterinarian." "Well, that is a very honorable profession," the priest assured her. And she nodded and continued, "He has two offices. One is in Abilene and the other is in Austin, and he calls them his cat houses." Okay. All right. So just in case we don't have anything to look forward to, I thought I would toss this one in. And when I saw this article, we have somebody here in Chansey who did something very similar to this a couple of weeks ago. And this is for you, Dry Fly Guy. It's called Senior Citizen Skydiving. Life is short. Jump at it. And the story begins. My wife, Carolyn, and I are 3 miles up, falling, tumbling, soaring through space at 174 feet per second, 120 miles per hour, or terminal velocity. And all I can think of is, wow, I'm flying. I should have worn a jacket. The rushing winds press through us, cold, dizzying, exhilarating. And Carolyn shouts to me, "A fine mess you've gotten us into, Ollie." Below lie the vast Atlantic Ocean, the Indian River, and the Kennedy Space Center. All of Florida's splendid and beautiful Brevard County is my panorama. Spread-eagled in free fall, the wind paints a huge smile on my face. My senses are way past overload, and I'm concerned that they'll completely shut down from this pure, raw ecstasy. At 5,000 feet, a sudden whoosh, a pop, really, as the rainbow-colored chute unfurls. My legs swing out in front of me as I'm yanked toward the sun. My tethered partner and new best friend, an Aussie lass with 4,500 jumps to her credit, hands me the steering lines. It's quiet now, the rush gone. Drifting in a silent blue universe. It is sublime freedom. As I pull left
then right on our lazy descent back to the airport, I watch Carolyn landing below effortlessly, as if stepping from a low stair. As always, the gutsy lady passed me by somewhere along the way. Longtime readers of this column will not ask why we jumped from a perfectly good airplane. They already know that Carolyn and I take to the air as an annual rite. We have experienced fixed wing, bi-wing, short wing, which is a stunt, helicopter, even gliders on our explorations. And just last year, following a hot air balloon trip over South Florida, I wrote, "On our next excursion to the sky, we're skydiving. Neither of us fears dying. At our ages, boredom and stagnation are the killers that concern us most." Those of us who are suddenly senior enjoy many advantages, including never having to prove anything to anybody. We can set the kid inside us free, fearless, joyful. We can experience life's vast universe and all its miracles. Had apprehension reared its ugly head, it would have occurred at the Titusville Skydive Space Center office, which is home of Florida's highest jumps at 18,000 feet. There we signed and initialed 19 times a legal document entitled "Warning, Warning, Warning." This 9-page caution graphically explains that parachuting activities are inherently dangerous, and one can be seriously injured or killed while participating in this sport. Summed up, it states, quote, "Don't you or your heirs come crying to us if the worst happens," end quote. Carolyn and I learned long ago that it's the things you don't do that you'll later regret. Case in point, my Skydive Center Certificate of Completion says, "Frank has accomplished what only a handful dare to dream, and what only the elite few successfully complete. To Frank will go the knowledge, confidence, and esteem which only the privileged enjoy." Try getting that from your 4-day Caribbean cruise. Life is short and getting shorter. Live it to the fullest. I'll guarantee you'll never feel more alive than while plummeting to earth at 2 miles a minute. However, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. Okay, and then they have a little trivia question here. And I have to go back up to where the trivia question started. Okay. What is the ratio of skydiving jumps to deaths? And this is according to FAI-IPC. A says 1 in 10,555. B is 1 to 26,968. C is 1 in 64,091, or D, 1 in 93,002. So let's see what it says here. The answer is C, 1 in 64,091. In a recent year, 29 died from skydiving accidents. Over 140 died in scuba diving, 856 bicycling, and over 7,000 drowned. 1,154 died of bee stings, 80 by lightning. 43,990 were killed in highway accidents. There were 1,171 boating fatalities, 235 airline deaths, and 1,164 fatalities in light aircraft general aviation accidents. And in that article, they don't show any date on here, so I'm not sure how
Oh, it does show a date, 2018. So isn't that interesting? So how is the party going? I want to know. I've been busy entertaining you guys, and I haven't had time to do much here. Okay, I was going to check and see if there were any comments. Blessing, I don't know. I don't think they gave an answer for rafting. That'd be a good question or question to look into, yeah. I need to pull up something here. And how is everybody enjoying the party? I want to know. I'm putting something up so I can read it. Okay, this one said, the good old days, were they really so good? Life was so much better when we were young. Everyone wants to wax nostalgic for the good old days. Or some like to say the good old days. I hear that a lot these days, how things were safer, simpler, even sexier back then. Perhaps based on the theory that less is more. My friend J.C. Spitznagel is a true believer in the good old days. Just yesterday, he saw an article noting that when we were in high school, more than 50 years ago, the top seven discipline problems were talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothes, and not putting paper in waste baskets. Know what they are today? JC demanded. He was going to tell me whether or not I even cared. He counted them off. Drug and alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, rape, robbery, assault, and guns in the school. As JC launched his usual rant about how today's world is going to hell in a handbasket, I began thinking about the huge changes we seniors have seen in our lifetimes. Take health care. When I was a kid in Park Ridge, Illinois, old doc sergeants would come to the house to care for our extended family, including parents, grandparents, an aunt, cousins, and a roomer, all living under the same roof. The doc charged $5 a visit, no matter the affliction. Even post the quarantine notice on the front door if necessary. To hear JC talk, everything after 1950 has been a menace to society. Especially television, frozen foods, plastic, and credit cards. Oh, he'll concede that dishwashers, electric blankets, air conditioners, and drip-dry clothes, all post-war innovations, probably aren't exactly inventions of the devil. Yet down deep, JC would rather have his push mower and stoker-fed coal furnace than any of today's contrivances. Talk to JC about radar, the pill, split atoms, laser beams, or man walking on the moon, and he'll grumble that we're going where God never intended us. Certainly life was different back in the good old days. We got married first, then slept together. And mind you, not in the same bed, at least never in the movies in those days. And back then, having a meaningful relationship was when your uncle took you to the circus. Service stations had service. Fast food was what our Catholic friends ate during Lent. Made in Japan meant junk, and making out
refer to how you did on your algebra exam. Pizzas, Starbucks, and McDonald's were unheard of, although while in high school, I was present at the opening of the very first McDonald's ever in Des Plaines, Illinois. But who knew? To me, it was just a 10-cent burger joint. Those days, a nickel would buy you a ride on the streetcar, make a phone call, buy a Pepsi. 12 ounces, that's a lot. Or enough stamps to mail one letter and two postcards. Gas was 16 cents a gallon. The good old days meant climbing trees, cowboys and Indians, chocolate milk, sucking on ice chips, just cut down by the Iceman, licking mom's mixer beaters and catching lightning bugs in a jar. Also hard to push mowers, polio, and widespread prejudice. All in all, I'll take today's life anytime. Heck, indoor plumbing and life-saving pharmaceuticals alone make the choice easy. Let's face it. If I'd been my age, back in the good old days, I'd be dead right now. I'd be dead right now. And most likely JC as well. How about you? And there's a little trivia question in this article, too. What were Necker knobs? N-E-C-K-E-R knobs. Necker knobs. One, were they multi-button shirts to keep the neck warm? Two, knobs that fit on the steering wheels, enabling the driver to easily steer with one hand. Three, a shield not unlike cones used to keep dogs from scratching themselves, put around the necks of young virgins to keep teenage boys at bay. Well, of course, the answer was the knobs mounted on the steering wheels to enable the driver to easily steer with one hand, and they were also called a spinner. And they reached their peak of popularity in the 50s and are difficult to find today. Yeah, I remember those. And the picture I always get in my mind when I think of those knobs is the guys. This is when, of course, we had bench seats in the front seat. All of our car seats were bench seats. And his other arm was around his date. That's what I think of when I see those knobs on the steering wheel. Well, have you enjoyed this little walk down memory lane today? Some of it is a little bit more pensive, but at the same time, some of these are just to be cherished, really, and experienced, I guess you could say. you know, this story of the elderly woman who went into the doctor's office for some birth control pills. I was thinking about that story later, and I'm going, well, why didn't she just bring in her granddaughter to the doctor? But, of course, this way the grandmother knew that she was getting her birth control pills, so I guess that's the answer to that one. oh, my. I will say, as we grow older, I think in many ways we become more forgiving because we the older one a person gets is they realize that their abilities are changing and sometimes lessening. And so especially I in the last 2 years have really gone through some changes, and I don't have muscle mass anymore, so I depend on others to do some things for me, which I didn't need to do that before. So aging can stare us in the face, or we can stare back at it and make friends with it, is basically where I'm coming at with all of these little stories. I love to think about this little old lady that was sitting on the park bench crying her eyes out because she couldn't remember where she lived.
in that her 22-year-old husband was at home waiting for her. That is something else. I'm just looking to see what everyone's talking about here today, too. It's really, I have to say, it's very difficult at times to know how the pace of everything is going to go. And so when prepping, I usually have all kinds of things extra behind me that I never did get to. And so, and today, wouldn't you just know it, I ran a little short. Figure that. I think we should spend some time on the Do You Remember list and add more to that list. Because if we can think of pea shooters and howdy doody, I know the other night or other day in Chatsy, we were talking about all kinds of different things that have been outdated, so to speak. And yet they're fun to remember, all of these things. Like my high flyer wagon. I want one of those. I'm going to find one. I don't care if it's so rusted where I don't see the red on it anymore. I want my old wagon. I think it'd be perfect because I have quite a number of very large flower pots. I'll call them flower pots. Mostly have flowers in them. And they're very hard to lug around. And then you've got the soil and the hose and the rakes and all this stuff. So I think a wagon would be perfect for me. And we'll see. And, you know, when we talk about the guys, they had their, what was that called again? The butch wax. Well, what about the girls? My gosh, back in the 50s and 60s, we were ratting our hair and poofing it up, and we were doing all kinds of stuff with our hair too. And you know, one thing that they don't have in here, which during that time period in the 50s and 60s were the saddle shoes. That was major, at least where I came from. In fact, I had to have saddle shoes. I must have been about 12 years of age. Oh my gosh, it's time. I got my pair of saddle shoes, and they were too tight for me, and I knew it when we bought them, but I insisted on getting them. I think I wore them once after I got them home. Thank you so much, and Chatsy Chatters, I'm going to miss you, but we'll see where the eagle takes us next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
We will not comply with the institution's sick illusion. No, it won't be televised. Welcome to the
some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion.